This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Hour number three, Barton Hahn. What hour is that, Bart Scott?
The power hour.
And by that, we of course mean this is where we bring in the power players onto the show. And who has more power than Stephen A. Smith these days?
Nobody.
We bring in the man right now on the Goodyear Hotline. At the Garden last night, part of the revamped NBA countdown with some heavy hitters on the panel, and you open up the season, Stephen A., at the Garden, at the Mecca. What better place to be? Bart and I were both in the building. I know you were, too. Try to describe the environment, the atmosphere, to people who always like to tell us, you guys overstate the Garden. It's you make too much of it. If you could, please explain to them what you felt in the building last night.
Well, it was electric. First of all, good to talk to both of y'all. Likewise. It was electric, man. And, you know, I think that people have to put certain things into consideration. I mean, on one hand, you've got a Garden that was just rocking because clearly the New York Knicks were a playoff team last year. And so there's hope and expectations that come with it. Are they championship expectations? Hell no. We know better. Mm-hmm. But we expect this team to be competitive. They're no longer a joke or a laughing stock. The Garden isn't considered basketball purgatory. And when you talk about it being the world's most famous arena, it's not a brunt of jokes anymore. And you had the stars that were willing to come out. You know, lovely seeing Spike Lee, Tracy Morgan there, Dustin Hoffman, Ziggy Azalea and others. We saw all of that. That was a given. But this team, the New York Knicks, with the most improved player, with guys that can play like Fournier and Kemba Walker and guys like that. You know what? The New York Knicks of old didn't win championships. That much is true. But they were competitors and gave you the impression that they were going to scratch and claw and fight. And if there's one thing a guy like Coach Tom Thibodeau deserves so much credit for, if nothing else, you know mm-hmm. that everything involving him is going to be about basketball. And no stone will be left unturned as it pertains to this team showing you that they're going to go out and fight every night, and you're going to have to beat them to take them down. Because even if they get knocked down, they're not going to stay down. And up until last year, it was a long, long, long time ago that we had seen that from this team. But we were reminded of what they were made of or what they could be made of last season. And then not last night was just part two of it all. And they've given us something to look forward to. And that's why it's so exciting. And that's why the Garden was rocking, because it was a special place to be last night.
You know, Steven, there's been some good additions. Kemba, you mentioned Fournier, who showed his worth, especially in overtime with being able to hit those clutch threes. But to me, the player that stood out the most was Mitchell Robinson and how imposing he is when he was being able to contest shots and guys were intimidated to even take it in. Is he the most important player, not the best player, the most important player? And if he gets in shape, how far can his team go if he has a healthy season?
Well, I think that he's arguably the most important because you're going to need his rim protection and his defensive prowess to elevate your defense. For the most part, without him last year, it was still the number one defense in the league. Points allowed, three-point shooting percentage allowed, obviously field goal percentage unit allowed. They were number one. And so when you look at them, there are expectations that their defense will elevate even from that with him in the lineup. That's number one. Number two, you now have a point guard that can put points in the hole. He can put up points in Kemba Walker, because when you think about Kemba Walker, you can't just look at him. You got to think about Derrick Rose and how him spelling for Derrick Rose and allowing Derrick Rose to be a legitimate weapon coming off the bench is going to really buffer things for this franchise. And then last but not least, Fournier, when you look at him, you got to remember in Reggie Bullock, you saw a guy that was a spot-up shooter. He could either make it or he'd miss it. But he wasn't necessarily somebody that was going to create his own shot. And even though he made points, he made it sporadically. He wasn't good for about 17 to 20 a night the way Fournier is. And for Fournier to step up in big moments the way that he did the other night, he's somebody you can't afford to leave open. And as a result of that, now you get to look at Julius Randle, and you get to look at R.J. Barrett, whose three-point shot clearly improved. And you're saying, wow, they could really do some things right now. Maybe they could get out of the first round and get to the second round of the Eastern Conference playoffs, even though you could legitimately name five teams mm-hmm. that are better right now within the Eastern Conference. Are we absolutely 100% positive we're going to be able to say that come the end of the regular season? The answer would be no. And as a result of that reality, it gets you even more excited in terms of fantasizing about what the New York Knicks could do this year.
Yeah, the potential is there, and I think what we learned from Tibbs off last year is that his teams will get better by the end of the season. That's what they did last year. They just trended up, and if they do that again this year, then right, all those teams that we're going to list and say, well, are they better, are they better? You know, that I think it just turns into more of a cluster of a bunch of teams after the Bucks and the Nets that you could argue could go anywhere from 3 to almost all the way down to 10 out of that group. And so we'll see where the Knicks factor in that. But, you know, as we're talking with Stephen A. Smith on the Goodyear Hotline off of the Knicks season opening win and a dramatic one, a great game. Both teams, too, deserved a standing ovation. The Celtics, Jaylen Brown giving it everything he had as well. Just a tremendous performance, and what a way to open up the NBA season on ESPN. And with that in mind, and you talked about the fantasy of what they can be this year, and we all know that Knicks fans, they love to fantasize about a lot of things. And I've noticed that even in the preseason, with some of the energy in the building, you had guys like Jamal Crawford saying on Twitter, I got to get to a Knicks game. Isaiah Thomas, the younger Isaiah Thomas, saying that there's a different energy about the Knicks. And LeBron last night even tweeting about the game and the energy in the building. And he's saying, as he said many other times, the league is better when the Knicks are good. So with that in mind, 2 years ago, Kevin Durant said the Knicks aren't cool. Can you see something like this? As we know, every year there's a star that doesn't want to be with his team and wants to move on. Can this lead to the Knicks then being that destination place for a superstar so we can start talking about them as a potential championship team?
Well, listen, I definitely think it could be a destination spot, but the first thing you have to prove is that you're not a fluke or you're not a one-year wonder. And it's not just about the players or the team's success. It's about the culture. Because right now, when we look at certain respects, remember, we talk about Brooklyn as a talent. Their culture isn't great right now because Kyrie has compromised that. You're not saying that about Milwaukee. When we look at the Miami Heat, it's not just because they're in a state where there's no state income tax. It's also because Pat Riley is still there and Eric Spoelstra is still there. And the culture of the Miami Heat is nothing to sneeze at. When you talk about the Los Angeles Lakers led by Jeannie Buss, not Jerry, you know, not Jim Buss, but Jeannie Buss. When you think about Jeannie Buss and what she means to the Los Angeles Lakers franchise, it's a culture that you'd like to embrace, and it's a place where stars would like to go. When you think about things from that perspective, that's what makes things so tremendously different and uplifting. When you've got a place where you've established how players will be treated, how a fan base will be, it will embrace them, those are the kind of things that resonate. And what I would say to you is this: I'm Knicks first. I'm a native New Yorker. I'm Knicks first, New York always. What I mean by that is I'm always going to root for the Knicks first. But if the Knicks were to lose, of course I'm going to root for the Brooklyn Nets. I love, you know, the ownership and Sean Marks and his stewardship over that Brooklyn Nets franchise and what have you. But the bottom line is what you saw when KD nearly pulled off a 7-game series against the Milwaukee Bucks was the Barclays Center be electric. What you saw when the New York Knicks won game 2 of a first-round playoff series against Atlanta was the city be electric. Mm. You see the difference?
Yes.
There's something special about the New York Knicks being relevant that's great for basketball and great for the entire city, all 5 boroughs of New York going ballistic. Maybe Brooklyn will go ballistic if the Brooklyn Nets win. The Barclays Center certainly will be an electric environment to be at. And we all know, we ain't boo-boo the fools here. The Brooklyn Nets are the better team than the New York Knicks. They got KD and Harden, and the New York Knicks do not. But make no mistake about it. As of right now, with what Leon Rose, Worldwide West, William Wesley, Scott Perry, and Tom Thibodeau, with what they're building together, combined with how you see the support of the Garden and the fan base, a legitimate argument right now could be made that even though the Brooklyn Nets clearly have the best 2 players, and they clearly have a big-time executive in Sean Marks who deserves a lot of credit, what they don't have an advantage over the New York Knicks is a fan base and a culture. Because right now I can make an argument that the culture of the New York Knicks, led by the 4 individuals I mentioned, is far better than the Brooklyn Nets right now. And I'm telling you right now, I don't think there's anywhere to go but up. I don't think you're going to see this franchise take a back step. They might crawl before they walk. And they certainly can't mess with the Brooklyn Nets as of right now. But I'm here to tell you, their culture is better, and what they're building right now is more attractive than what you're seeing in Brooklyn. And that's in large part because the New York Knicks don't have Kyrie Irving to worry about. Brooklyn's got to worry about Kyrie Irving.
Hey, Steven, we're conditioned as athletes and I think as a society that before you triumph, you must suffer first. And, you know, out west, we saw two teams last year suffer. And I think that's the Utah Jazz and the Denver Nuggets. Which one of these guys have the better opportunity, you think, in your opinion, to become the Milwaukee Bucks, who can be that breakthrough team that has suffered and can maybe get to the promised land inspired by what they saw the Bucks do last year?
Well, that's a two-pronged question. If you're talking talent, it's the Brooklyn Nets because they have KD. And I think he's the greatest in the world. Okay, and James Harden's top six, top seven in the world. But if you're talking about culture and that's the measuring stick, I'm going to tell you the New York Knicks. Because what you have is a superstar in Milwaukee and a Giannis Antetokounmpo, who everyone follows. That's what the New York Knicks are devoid of. What else are they devoid of? They got an owner that's got money. Somehow, some way, they've managed to keep him out of the headlines for petulant, stupid behavior, where he's sitting there and wanting to throw out a 14-year-old just because the guy holds up a sign saying to sell the team, okay? So he's not acting like a child anymore, at least in public, okay? You've got adults running the franchise and ingratiating themselves with the New York public. And that's what this is really about. You got to think about last night and what transpired. We saw a star in Jaylen Brown put on an absolute show. The Knicks would have probably lost if Jason Tatum had any part of his game on the money, which he did not, but that won't last because he's a star in and of himself. What else did you see that Boston had as an advantage? Again, we're going to see teams that have more talent. But when you look at the New York Knicks, you got a most improved player in Julius Randle, who's no scrub. He's a man amongst boys. I just wish he was a bit more ambidextrous. We got a guy in R.J. Barrett that can really play. I want him to use his right hand as well, but the guy can play. He's got a lot of heart. He's improved his three-point shooting. He's not scared. He's young as well. We got a guy in Kemba Walker who's just an incredible, incredible model citizen. You'll never have to worry about him emulating the kind of behavior that we've seen from Kyrie Irving. We might have questions about his health, but nothing about his game, nothing about his character. We got a guy in Fournier who showed us that he's a bona fide two guard in this league. And we've got a bunch of young pieces around who, in a coach in Tom Thibodeau, that clearly knows how to utilize them. And they're making headlines for all the right reasons. Nothing but basketball.
Yeah.
Nothing but basketball.
It's amazing to think.
And when you have that going on, New York is going to gravitate towards you.
Mm-hmm.
New York is going to support you. And that's going to put a little extra adrenaline in your blood. I believe the New York Knicks are going to make the playoffs. I think they got a great shot to win a first-round series. But more importantly than that, win, lose, or draw, as long as they make the playoffs, they're not taking a step backwards. They're taking a step forward, and I love that.
It's amazing to think, too, if you look at the Atlantic Division, they're the most stable team right now with all the issues, obviously, with the Kyrie and the Nets, Celtics going through the coaching changes and still dealing with COVID.
Who would have ever thunk it?
And yeah, right, who to thunk it is right. And then you got the Sixers, and that's what I wanted to ask you. So the Nets play the Sixers tomorrow night on ESPN. They're at home. It's Philly's home opener, and Doc said he wants Ben Simmons to be available. I can't envision any way that Ben Simmons even walks in the building to face those fans. Do you?
I can't see it either. I think if he does, the Philadelphia 76ers will have forced him to. I do not blame them for forcing him. He's got 4 years and $147 million left on his contract. And regardless of what Ben Simmons wants us to believe, this situation was self-inflicted. No, the Sixers' hands are not clean. No, Rich Paul, his agent, his hands are not clean. But this is about Ben Simmons. You're the one that showed up in the playoffs and stunk up the joint. You did this after they gave you a three-year honeymoon period as an all-star player for them. You can't shoot to save your life. It's the one liability to your game, and you've never shown any evidence whatsoever that you've worked in it. I will remind you, we're not saying Ben Simmons can't shoot and leaving it at that. The guy won't even attempt to. He passes up. If it ain't a layup, he wants no part of it at all. Not free throws, not 10-foot shots, not 15 or 20-foot shots. Wants no part of it at all. Do y'all realize he shoots 14.7% from three-point range in his career? And he has never even averaged one three-point shot per game in his career. Ever.
If you think about it, he passed up on a layup. He also passed up on a layup in the playoffs.
And so what you're seeing is a guy that is pointing the finger at the city of Philadelphia. Now, when Philadelphia has been questionably wrong, it didn't stop you from receiving their wrath. Imagine now that they're fully in the right. They've done nothing to the guy but support him. And he turns his back on them. They booed him at a Flyers hockey game the other night. Could you imagine? And he wasn't even there in attendance. Could you imagine what the 76ers fans are going to do to him? It'll be, I worked in Philadelphia for 17 years.
Right.
I can't imagine, not T.O., not McNabb, not anybody, not Iverson, not anybody. I can't imagine how bad it will be for Ben Simmons if Ben Simmons shows up tonight. But I'll tell you this, he'll show me a lot of character if he shows up anyway.
If he shows up anyway,
he'll show me a lot of character. This is comparable, guys, to what we anticipated LeBron James was going to receive in his first return back to Cleveland once he left. You know what LeBron did? He showed up and balled. That's how we know what kind of character he has. Hopefully, Ben Simmons proves that he's man enough to do the same. Because if he doesn't, it just shows a level of weakness that should put every team on alert as to whether or not they truly, truly want him. Because I don't care how gifted you are. If you ain't mentally tough, you ain't going to last.
And what he showed us in the playoffs is that's a major issue from him, from the neck up, a major issue. And that's going to cost them if they're trying to get serious value for Ben Simmons. Stephen A., it was great to talk to you. Thanks so much, and congratulations on back on NBA Countdown. A great show. We look forward to it all season.
Appreciate both of y'all, man. Thank you as always. Talk to y'all later.
All the best. Stephen A. Smith again in the building last night at the Garden with everybody, with Jalen, with Wilbon, with Greeny. That's the cool part. That's when you know, again, when people are like, you know, the Knicks are back. They're back how? Because they opened the season for ESPN. Everybody was in the building, right? Everybody. Even Bart Scott was in the building, although he left early. Dang. I don't know how you did that.
Man, listen.
How do you leave in overtime?
Double overtime,
it's
man.
Overtime. Don't you want to see how it ends?
I was upset because it should have been ended. Because it went to overtime and double overtime because they were playing foolish. So I thought if I leave, maybe it'd change the karma up in the building. They can close the show. And they did. You welcome.
Is that what it is? You left and the karma went the right way?
I don't know what it was. Maybe they started thinking better.
Who knows? Anyways, that was a great win. And, of course, it's just one, and there's still 81 to go. But it is kind of a tone setter. It makes you wonder, boy, the East is going to be real interesting this season. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. If we know the Nets and the Bucks are the top two, Miami, Philly, Atlanta, Boston, I think those are teams you just expect to be there as well. So that next group would be the Knicks, the new-look Bulls, the Hornets with LaMelo, the Pacers with their new coach in Rick Carlisle, and then the Wizards, Bradley Beal. So are they in that group? And where do you have the Knicks then, right now, if you were to power rank in the East? Could they be in the top six? Because that means you don't have to deal with the play-in. Or are they somewhere a little bit farther down the road? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. So tune into ESPN Daily Podcast, bringing you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters. Presented by Supercuts. Download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily. Available wherever you enjoy your podcasts. The Browns, by the way, as we've been talking about, are decimated tonight. Don't even have their starting quarterback, offensive line banged up, backfield, forget it. Nobody available. Is it worth wagering on Denver? We're going to ask our resident expert next. Barton Hunt, ESPN Radio, and on the ESPN app.
TJ and Max.
Good morning. I listen to you guys every single morning.
Covering the biggest stories with the best guests and plenty of opinions.
I love listening to you guys. I love the banter. I love the conversation. I listen live every single morning.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Hahn.
Welcome back, Bart and Hahn. Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Interesting news that you just heard there on SportsCenter as we were just talking to Stephen A. Smith about this and the Ben Simmons situation. So they had practice today after their win last night in New Orleans. And Doc Rivers had said that they expect him to be at practice, and they play at home on Friday night against the Nets. And, of course, that means that they would want him to be in the lineup. He doesn't want to get suspended. He doesn't want to lose his money. But when he showed up at practice, as Woj is reporting, he has yet to fully engage. He did not, and he left. So he didn't take part in anything and left. So, of course, unlikely he will be in the lineup to face the fans and, of course, also play.
Y'all keep talking about him getting booed at a Flyers game. He got booed at AEW.
Yeah, it's
like it's all genres of sports. Not even sports entertainment people are booing him.
It would be ironic if he was booed by a whole bunch of Santas, right? And since it's Philly and that's what they do the other way. But still, that story just continuing to develop in Philadelphia. But right now, we bring in our good friend Doug Kazarian from Daily Wager, who joins us right now on the Goodyear Hotline. Doug, how are we doing?
Doing well, fellas. Good to be with you as always.
You know what? I want to lead off since we were just talking about the Sixers. I do have a little information about what you feel like is a value pick for championship in the NBA. If you are not, you know, going beyond the favorites, you like the Sixers.
Yeah, basically what happens is when you have heavy favorites like we do with the Nets and Lakers, it kind of amplifies the odds elsewhere on the betting board. And you know, if you're a believer, if it looks like all signs point to Simmons eventually is going to get traded, but mm-hmm. can they get decent value? I mean, maybe there is a chance where they work it out, where they get some the right pieces. Let's not forget this team was the one seed a year ago. Obviously, Simmons was an all-star and a valued member and a key cog in the wheel. But Danny Green goes down. This team was right there in the mix. I understand the track record, but this is a different Philly team. As soon as Daryl Morey came in, he had the perfect kind of analytical complements to Joel Embiid, and you get Seth Curry alongside Green, and you have more shooting. Guys like Matisse Thybul are a year better. So it's all about the top of the NBA. I think the Lakers are toast, and I'm not sure the Nets have exactly the right pieces, and if they can get a Kyrie trade or what happens with him and the vaccine. I think things can break the right way, and if you're getting 18-1, which is what's offered at Caesars right now, that's certainly an attractive price and something you can play out of, as we like to say in the betting world. So if you have an 18-1 ticket and the Sixers get to the second or third round, you can start massaging the numbers and maybe hedge a little bit. So I like the value at 18-1 right now with Philly.
Tell me, what was the equivalent last year? Was the Bucks maybe the equivalent to the Sixers last year before they made the P.J. Tucker trade and the trades for all the other guys, when you think that probably last year the Nets and the Lakers were the favorites again last year?
Well, it's interesting because until the Nets got Harden, they weren't this overwhelming favorite, right? It was the Lakers and then a giant drop-off because L.A. had just won the title, and a lot of positive sort of discussions around the Lakers and Clippers. It was a two-horse race and then Milwaukee. So before the Lakers won the bubble, it was a three-horse race. It was like those three and then a big drop-off. Well, the Nets get Durant back, and then they get Harden, and then the Nets became the betting favorite overwhelmingly, and then the Lakers right there. And then once LeBron goes down, but Philly was still sort of had that stench from, you know, just complete flameouts in the playoffs. But it was a different team last year, and that's why they got the one seed. People were kind of dismissing them. They didn't really accept that the shooting around Embiid was so different. And then Embiid had an MVP-type season mm-hmm. until he got hurt. So It's going to be interesting how it all plays out. There's depth. You know, remember not too long ago the Eastern Conference had teams at the bottom and then 6, 7, 8 seeds that were under 500.
Right.
That's not going to be the case now. There's balance. There's depth. Teams like Miami are solid. But ultimately, the chalk wins in the NBA because it's best of seven. It's not the single elimination format that March Madness is. So I just like them. And then Bucks are right there too, for sure. I'm just – the Nets will be there eventually. You know, injuries happen, as we saw last year. Things can get derailed pretty easily, so you always want to build your portfolio with nice value plays.
Well, I like that. Okay, the way you explained it now makes a whole lot of sense. Now, I know tonight's game, as we begin NFL Week 7, I know tonight's game is one of those you probably stay away from all the injuries and everything else between the Browns and the Broncos. A lot of unpredictability with lineups and also two defenses. But Bart noticed this thing, and we were talking about this earlier in the show, and I want to get your take on it as an expert. I was talking with Doug Kazarian right now from Daily Wager. And it's that the line, even though the Browns are still favored, the line moved 1 point when the news about Baker Mayfield not being available, being out of the lineup, was officially announced. We were talking about Baker Mayfield and his future in Cleveland and really his value to that franchise. What does the fact that the line moved only 1 point tell us about what Vegas thinks of Baker Mayfield?
I'm glad you said 1 point because that's smart because everyone's like, oh, it opened 5 or 5.5 earlier this week. It's like 4. No, the Sharps bet it early in the week. They pounded Denver, and they got bet down to 3, then 2.5, and then the announcement of Baker Mayfield. But some of that early Denver money was suspecting that Baker Mayfield mm-hmm. could be out. But here's the thing. It's 1 point based on Case Keenum and an injured Baker Mayfield, right? Like the version we saw the last couple of weeks
gotcha.
Is not a peak Baker Mayfield. So the gap, it's all about the delta, the gap between your starter and your backup. So the teams with good backups, it has a lesser of a delta. It doesn't mean that they don't think the starter is that good. Like Aaron Rodgers is the gold standard right now in the NFL, but it all depends who his backup is, right? So I think Keenum's considered one of the better backups in the league, especially with a history and familiarity with Case Keenum, right? He had that year before Cousins got to Minnesota. He was with Stefanski's system and played really well.
Right.
Vikings almost went to the Super Bowl. But for me, it's the – and then it's the cluster of injuries. There's the other injuries, right? Both running backs are out for Cleveland. And then on top of that, you got some other injuries throughout the line. And also the over-under factors into this. You have an over-under of 40 at some places, 40.5 at others. So 1 point of 40 is obviously more significant than 1 point of like a 57 over-under, which is what we're seeing with Tennessee and Kansas City game. So, and then also the key numbers, right? 3. So if it went off of 3, that's significant. Then maybe between 7.5 and 9, which is the line move we've seen this week with Washington and Green Bay. So it's very nuanced. There's always an elaborate discussion, but books are positioning themselves to kind of be on the Denver side, so they're okay offering Cleveland 1, 1.5 because they're already liable with early money in the week. But the professionals came in and bet +4, +5. They're not sitting there betting +2. They bet it earlier in the week, got the good numbers because of those key numbers we like to talk about, the most common margins of victory in the NFL, with 3 being the most common.
You know, let's stay in Ohio for a second. Now, the Ravens are probably a favorite, right? You think about, you know, Lamar Jackson has yet to lose in the month of October in M&T Bank Stadium. Now, the Cincinnati Bengals are an interesting team as they always seem to give the Ravens a little trouble, and I think we're underestimating them as a team. What do you see happening in that game? And do you see maybe an upset?
They're favorite 6.5. And what we were talking, Doug, is that Bart believes that this is an upset alert. He feels like the mm-hmm. Bengals are a team to really keep an eye on here.
Right. So you're saying, yeah, keep it in Ohio. I like Cincy. I think they've done some nice things, but look, they've won these coin flip games, right? They won. They did lose the Green Bay one. I'll say that. They did lose in the opener. You know, Mason Crosby had some issues. Both teams had some issues
wild
kicking.
Ending.
But they did get the nice win in the opener against the Vikings at home. And they also had the one against Jacksonville, which really that goal line stand at the end of the first half on mm-hmm. Thursday night could have been 17-0 if they kicked the field goal, or 21-0, and then came back and win. Certainly the better team, just kind of a flat spot. I think this could go either way in terms of the point spread. I don't see Cincy winning, but I wouldn't be shocked if they did. Joe Burrow's the real deal. I think it's a coaching mismatch. I think Taylor's done some things that I question, and he's just kind of gotten fortunate that Burrow's come back and Chase is their guy, and he's been great. But for me, I would pass on the game because I think it's one of those 10-point leads, backdoor covers wide open. But I'll give you this, guys, and you know I always like the futures market. Coach of the Year. It's wide open, obviously a lot of guys, but Brandon Staley's a heavy favorite at +450. I like Harbaugh at 20 to 1 right now. He's got his team in first place of a competitive division. They're getting a lot of buzz and credit for just being so competitive despite all the injuries. I believe second most injuries behind Detroit, if I remember correctly. But Lamar Jackson obviously getting buzz in the MVP campaign, but it's really wide open with like 8 legitimate quarterbacks right there in the discussion. I wonder if the narrative over the course of the season that Harbaugh will get sort of buzz at the end of the year, and 20 to 1 is a really attractive price for me.
It's amazing 20 to 1 when you consider it, and if you listened all week after Lamar and their performance, is that we all talked about, is he the coach of the year? Is he the early favorite for coach of the year? So 20 to 1, you're absolutely right. Jump all over that. All right, Doug, give us your best bets for this weekend.
So NFL card is really tough for me. I think I've talked to oddsmakers. It's just a weird card. I got a bunch of big favorites. They don't expect a big handle on those games. The two most popular games will be the Raiders-Eagles game in the afternoon, and then the early slate, you're looking at the Chiefs-Tennessee game. I like the over 57 in that game. One of my solid plays. Don't absolutely love it, but I like it. I would say my favorite play is New England -7. I think they need the game. We saw what happened in week 2 in New York. Wilson's going to have some trouble with his Belichick defense. Now, again, we talked about earlier about a low over-under. It's 42.5. So laying 7 with an offense that's been pretty conservative. Belichick's very conservative, hasn't really taken the training wheels completely off of Mac Jones, but I think they get there with defense and offense. I think the Jets team is a little frisky, but I'm going to have to lay the 7 for sure with New England. I like them in teasers. Them and Green Bay in a teaser is probably my favorite play. New England -1, teasing it to Green Bay. So for those unfamiliar, you can adjust a point spread 6 points, but you have to hit all the legs. It's like a parlay, but with adjusting the point spread. So I would do Green Bay -2, and then also New England -1 in a teaser, two-leg teaser, as they say.
I gotcha. And the young Jets team coming off a bye in that game as well against Bill Belichick. Doug, always great to talk to you. Very informative, as always. All the best.
Thanks, fellas. You too.
All right. Doug Kazarian, again, hosts on Daily Wager, giving us the latest on the betting game. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number to get the calls continuing with you. As it is Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, and we are presented by Progressive Insurance. Protecting your small business is a big deal. Cover what you've worked so hard for. Visit ProgressiveCommercial.com. So the NBA wraps up its opening week tonight, and we've got some early impressions already about what we've seen so far, and of course, what could happen in Philadelphia if and when Ben Simmons ever shows up in front of that crowd? We will take your calls on this and more next. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, and on the ESPN app.
Keyshawn Johnson.
They don't want to forfeit games based on your beliefs.
Jay Williams.
From knowing Justin Fields, I think his mindset is better when he's thrown to the wolves.
And now, Max Kellerman.
Trevor Lawrence, it looks like he's the guy struggling the most with the speed of the NFL.
Weekday mornings at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2. Bart and Hahn.
Are you vibed to this, Bart Scott?
No.
No woman, no cry. Anyways, Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. We had Stephen A. Smith on earlier spitting that hot fire about what he saw last night at Madison Square Garden with the Knicks and the Celtics in a dramatic double overtime win for the home team, for the New York Knicks. But what a great performance, really, by both teams. Standing ovation for both. And if you missed that interview, of course, you can get it wherever you get your podcast. Just find Barton Hahn. Subscribe so you don't miss a thing. And that's where you can find us each and every day. Meanwhile, we have your calls at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. And Bart, again, as we continue to think about what last night and the beginning of the season really so far for the NBA, what we're learning already is the Laker thing is going to take time, right? And that there's a lot more parity in the league than I think we've had in a long time. While there are favorites, and oh yeah, don't forget the Bucks. Don't overlook the Bucks. That doesn't have to be a one-hit wonder for them, because Giannis doesn't look like a guy that is just satisfied that he got his ring and now he's going to step back. He looks like he's still very much driven. And the drama continues with Ben Simmons and that whole story. If you're just joining us, he was supposed to have a scheduled workout today, didn't show up, or when he showed up for it, didn't do anything. They sent him home, and now, of course, status for Friday night's game against the Nets at Philly, in Philly, where he would, if he's in uniform, they're going to see him, the fans, and they're booing him at other events like Flyers games. So that also still to be questioned. You wonder if they'll just, as Bobby Marks just tweeted, that maybe they should just suspend him indefinitely, work out some type of a settlement, and just tell him to go away until we figure out where we can send you. But as I said to Stephen Abar, it's amazing to think that in the Atlantic Division, the Knicks are the most right now stable franchise.
Yeah.
The Celtics just went through a whole change at the top. They fired their GM. You know, obviously Danny Ainge moves on. They kicked their coach upstairs and Brad Stevens. He becomes the GM. They bring in a new coach, a rookie coach in Ime Udoka. They change up the roster a little bit, and they're still dealing with COVID. Okay, that's that. Yeah, so that's them. Philly, I already told you about the Ben Simmons story. And then there's Kyrie Irving and the Brooklyn Nets. The Knicks are a stable franchise.
Yeah.
That is not something that you could say in the last decade. I mean, that's a fact. That's where they are right now. And as I've said, there is something different about, and LeBron has said this, all the stars say this, there's something different about the league when the Knicks are good and the Garden is rocking and it feels different. Just listen to Evan Fournier, who has played in the Garden as an opponent for years, but he played last night as a Knick in the Garden and was a hero late with some big shots. And the energy, as we've told you, is just different here.
It was incredible. To be honest, even during preseason, I asked, you know, my teammates if the energy was just crazy for a preseason game. And, you know, they say, no, it's just, you know, a normal thing in New York. So, you know, the energy in this building, I can feed off from it. And, I mean, I'm loving it. I'm loving it.
It's something different, right? It's just different. It's a regular season, game one, and they're going crazy in the building. How about outside the building? I just retweeted something from Side Talk that you can find on my Twitter, at Alan Hahn. And it's they are outside the building interviewing fans coming out of the building.
Why didn't you grab me?
Game one. Well, because you left
early.
I left
early. That's right. Okay.
Man, I still can't believe you did that. They grabbed fans who were celebrating outside the building. And, I mean, we can't play it on the air because there's just obscenities left and right. Because this is New York. This is what we do. Like, we can't say hello without an obscenity.
Yeah.
But it's the—
Get out of here!
Yeah, yeah. But the energy is off the charts. It's really funny. Like, it's entertaining. It's funny, but it also shows you just how different it is. The energy here. You played here. You came here from Baltimore in a great organization and had success.
Yeah.
You came to New York and played for the Jets.
The Knicks is different, though. The Knicks is a different. These like old fans. I'm looking around. They're putting the camera on. It's like women that's like 70, 80 years old, like screaming at the top of their lungs. Nobody's too good or too cute to get up and
now people
scream.
People go nuts, right?
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like
no,
sometimes,
too cool for school.
Like when you go to MetLife, it got too bougie. It got too corporate. People didn't want to be seen like they were losing control. In the Garden, everybody becomes a kid again because they understand the magnitude of where they're at. They understand that Muhammad Ali walked in that stadium. They know the great events that
Sinatra
have taken place
played
there.
Under that ceiling.
Right, yeah. Exactly. So, like, I think people just lose control and they become kids again and they don't care, you know, and nobody criticizes or even judges how somebody is acting. I had a girl that's dancing crazy next to me the whole time. I'm like, I can't even see. Can you sit out? I missed a shot. I got to stand up to go see the damn shot.
Yeah, no, the energy was off the charts and I'm telling you right now, that was a tone setter game last night. If you want to believe in the Knicks, believe in the fact that they won that game because of their depth. They may not have superstars, which the Celtics have, but they have depth. That's most important. That can get you through a season. They are absolutely a playoff team and perhaps a little bit more this season. You want to see them take that step, and I think they showed you last night they will. Bart, see you tomorrow.
Ahala.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.